You are listening to the PPS Club podcast with Priscille B. Fatuma, where we talk about writing as an art, writing as a business, and the secret life of writerpreneurs.
Without further ado, I would like to say thank you so much for joining us, Tara and Jennifer, on today's episode. I would love to say, as a disclaimer, since we're talking about imposter syndrome, that I am no psychologist or licensed psychotherapist, and neither are Tara and Jennifer. For the listeners, we are writers, hence the discussion and the advice that you will hear in this episode are by no means to be taken as medical advice or out of the context of writing life. So my guests are Tara Shelton Harris and Jennifer Baumuller, and these two women are inspiring. Tara is a librarian and a freelance writer who now writes upmarket fiction with bittersweet endings. She's the author of One Summer in Savannah, which is her first novel. And Jennifer is a writer, and she's been in this podcast before. And in case some of you remember her, you will probably relate to what she has to say, because last time we spoke about burnout, and today she's back to join us on this discussion about imposter syndrome. So that's a little bit about the guests and the topic of the day. And I would love to jump right in and ask my first question to Tara. And so, Tara, could you tell us a bit about your background and how you became who you are today?
Oh, okay. First of all, thank you for having me. Well, writing has always been something that I've done. I remember writing my first book when I was in the sixth grade. My sixth grade teacher, Julie Cook, really kind of inspired me to write when everyone else was out of recess and playing around. She really encouraged me to write. And so writing is something that I've always done. Unfortunately, I have put it on a back burner many times until finally I just decided that when you are a writer, it never goes away. That desire to write never goes away. It stays with you. And that push to write. And so after years of pushing off that, I just said, I'm going to lean into it. And I didn't know what kind of writing I wanted to do. I was a journalism major in college. And so I thought I wanted to be a reporter. So the first thing I did was freelance writing. And freelance writing, preferably, I did a lot of travel writing. So I was able to travel the world and write about my experiences and do different things for publications. But then I started getting this itch, this feeling to write a novel. And I didn't know what that entails. And it's completely different. Writing freelance articles is completely different than writing a book. And so it took me a while to understand that context and how to write that and what to do. And so I wrote my first book, which lives on my hard drive. It was never published, but I am so proud of that book because that's the book that I call my practice book. That was a book that taught me how to write and understand different things. It was also the first book that I started pitching to agents and to editors. And so it really taught me so much about myself, so much about the writing process, and so much about publishing. And so even though I learned a lot from that, it was still a kind of a sting that it didn't get published. And so I took some time off just to try to see what I was going to do next. And this nugget of an idea that became One Summer in Savannah started creeping in. And so I just wrote it. I just started writing slowly, 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 and still not knowing that anything was ever going to come from it. And it did. And so I'm really proud and happy of that. But I also work as a librarian too. So I'm balancing working as a librarian and writing at the same time. But as far as when it comes to my writing, it's something that I denied myself for so long. And it just took a matter of me just saying, I'm not going to deny myself anymore. And I'm just going to write. And it's been the best decision that I've ever made.
That's amazing. I love your story. And I love that you started with one thing and then you still had the desire. And I remember when I was talking about this too with Jennifer, she can even attest of that. I spoke about desire, and I know how that desire never goes away. And I think our listeners can probably relate to that, because once you have the desire to write a story, you just have to give into it, because it will never go away. It will never give you peace. I don't know if Jennifer has something to say about that. And as a writer, what do you think about going from not writing and being pushed into writing because of a certain desire, a certain dream?
Yeah, and it's interesting how you describe that, Tara and Priscilla, where you call it a desire. And that's what it is. Like, I don't think many people get it sometimes, but where it's just, it's burning. Like, I have to get it out. Like, that's what you were saying. You're like, I have to get it out. And my career is similar. My path is similar to yours. I was actually a page. That's what they call the librarian's assistants. So I worked in the library for a little while. I was a journalism major. I worked on like a business publication. So it's kind of like funny how we're trying to get into the feed this desire that we had other ways until we're just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to write. I totally hear you about that. And I think we'll probably get to this, but I think that's what helps you get over imposter syndrome. We'll probably talk about that a little later.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome. We'll definitely get to that. And just so that our listeners know who Jennifer is, would you please describe your own journey into writing and tell our listeners who may have forgotten about you from the episode on burnout who you are and what they should know about you today?
Yeah, and just really quick, it's funny because you had asked me, how do I want to refer to myself? And you asked me that in the last podcast. And I gave you this whole long answer about, well, I'm a writer. I didn't say I was a writer. I was like, I work in communications and I do business writing and I couldn't call myself a writer. So it's interesting now you say it to me, what do you want to call yourself? And I said a writer. Like, it took me all this time to realize I am a writer, you know? So it's kind of, but my path was just all over the place. And I went into corporate communications. As I said, I was a journalism major, then moved into corporate communications, then walked away from that. And that was my identity, like working in the business world. So it was kind of, I had to find myself, I feel like, and figure out who I was. And I used to write like short stories and stuff. When I was a kid, I'd write stuff. And I wrote like short stories in my 20s. And I would go to the post office every Saturday and mail them out. This is before everything was electronic. And then I stopped for like several years, probably almost a decade. And then once I left my other job, tried to figure out what I wanted to do next, I ended up writing again. And then this novel came out. And like, here we are these years later. And I think I have more stories to tell too. So it's kind of interesting. Like you said, it's that desire that's in you and it's hard to ignore.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. So how do you cope then with the feelings of self-doubt and insecurity that come with imposter syndrome? Jennifer, would you like to go first?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because I don't know that it ever goes away. I think you just learn how to, Tara's like, no. I think you just learn how to cope with it. Mm-hmm. I think it's something, particularly if you're a creative person and like if you like to write or you're an artist or what have you. And I'm sure in like even everyday jobs, you might get a new position and you might think, for me, the thought process is, can I do this? Like, am I good enough for this? And I think what's daunting is like, now there are people who believe in you, like maybe your agent and then your editor and then other people who reach you. And it's just like, I don't want to let them down, you know? So that kind of goes in your head too. But to get over that, I've learned that I have to also believe in myself. Where it's great to surround yourself with a good group of people who are supportive, but it's not going to do much if you can't also kind of rally your own self and say, I can kind of get through this. I see you not. Like we've talked on this before, Tara, I know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So what about you, Tara? How do you cope with the feelings of self-doubt?
I love Jennifer's answer because it's very much mine as well. You live with it. You sit with it. And for me, it's identifying what it is. For such a long time, I didn't know what that feeling was. Like, I needed to identify and define what it is. And once I figured out, okay, this is self-doubt. This is imposter syndrome. Okay, once I knew what it was, I live with it. I sit with it. And like Jennifer said, it never goes away. You have it. I am publishing a book in a month and another book coming out in a year from now and a writing my third book. And guess what? Still same feelings. The same feelings. Like nothing, you would think that it would be easier as you start to move through publishing, but it doesn't. It never goes away. And I was talking to my agent about it today because I suffer from imposter syndrome dramatically. And the thing that Jennifer was saying was, for me, I have to write through it. And for me, when I'm starting to feel like okay, what are people saying about the book or how are you here? For example, a week ago, I was in New York for the U.S. for Publishers Weekly U.S. Book Show. And I was sitting on the stage with two other debut authors in conversation. And I had this feeling of, how am I here? Like, why am I here? I'm in the green room and these authors are being ushered in and out. And these are authors that I look up to and I see them, I'm meeting them. And I'm like, how am I here? Like, is this a mistake? Like, are they going to say, oh, I'm so sorry, Tara. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not supposed to be here. We made a mistake. And I realized I'm supposed to be there. I am supposed mm-hmm. to be there. But just even in that moment, that's supposed to be a highlight for me. I was still wondering, how am I here? And what I do is I just realize that I tell myself I'm supposed to be here, that I'm here for a reason, and just talk my way through it and realize that this is something that's never going to go away. Instead of trying to figure out different issues and solutions to it, it's just a matter of understanding that you're going to have it and you can't give it too much place. I try not to give it too much place, but yeah, so it's something that no matter where you are in publishing, that it stays with you. And it's very hard to deal with.
I like how you said, Tara, how I'm supposed to be here. Like, that's very powerful because mm-hmm. oftentimes we don't think that. We think the opposite. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. supposed to be there. It's a mistake. So right. I think that's really powerful when you say that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's perhaps that also comes to the fact that we've been wanting this for so long. And now that you are somewhere where you wanted to be a while ago, mm-hmm. then you feel like mm-hmm. the other people are going to see through you. And
that's right.
Yeah. So the definition of imposter syndrome kind of really also explained that it is just a feeling that you are about to be exposed as a fraud. So you don't mm-hmm. believe in your own competence and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. based on that, I wanted to ask you to tell our listeners, what are some of the ways they can celebrate, or how do you personally celebrate your achievements, and how do you recognize your own strength as a writer?
Well, I am very futuristic. Today is one day, but my mind is a year from now, and I have a hard time very much being present and where I am. And so when things happen to me in the present, it feels like, okay, and then I'm ready to move on to the next thing. But I try to center myself and take a minute and breathe it in and be present in that moment when my mind just wants to move on to the next thing. And one of the things that I recently did, my husband asked me, he said, what would it take to make for you to believe that your book, One Summer in Savannah, is going to be successful? And he didn't let me answer this immediately. Like, he made me think about it for a minute. I thought, oh, goodness. And so it came to me that it is successful already, but before it comes out, before publication, because it exists. It is so hard to write a book, you know, and that is worth celebrating. It is worth celebrating having the discipline to sit down day after day and to write a book. So that needs to be celebrated. And we need to celebrate every step of our journey along the way. We need to celebrate finishing a book. We need to celebrate editing a book. We need to celebrate getting an editor. We need to celebrate getting an agent. We need to celebrate getting a publication date. Every step along the way, we need to take a second to acknowledge that. And so I was able to answer my husband and I said, it is successful already. Before it even comes out, no matter how many books I sell, no matter how many positive reviews we get, no matter what, it exists. I can hold my book in my hand and know that this is something that I created, something that I did. And so that is how I celebrate my achievements, is by taking it step by step and celebrating every step along the way.
Wow, that is powerful. And I don't know, Jennifer, would you like to add to that? How do you celebrate your achievements?
Yeah, and it's great hearing Tara say this because she's texted me those same words. After I've reached a milestone, okay, make sure you celebrate this. So it's like, so it's one of those things where it's like, absolutely, like you have to remember those moments. It's funny because I think we're always aspiring to the next level, which is always, it's good. As humans, that's what we do. We want to be on the bestseller list, and we want to be on Reese's or Oprah's list, we're always going to the next level. And that's great to want that. But like you said, the book is written, even if it doesn't get to anywhere, or even if it does, it's going to be interesting because there's still that part of you where it's like, okay, I need to keep one-upping myself. And there's a point where you have to take a breath and just celebrate and just enjoy the moment. Like that's the thing that we sometimes forget, just enjoy the moment. So
That's right.
Enjoy the moment. That is really awesome. So from an industry perspective, then I know Tara, you're a librarian, you probably get requests from writers and publishers, things that you know work and things that would probably attract readers. So based on all of that, what are some of the benefits, like what would you say are the benefits and the challenges of being a writer in today's competitive industry and the dynamism that are in the market? Like what would you say are the benefits and the challenges of being a writer in today's specific market?
The benefits is you get to tell your story. I think people think that being published by a big five publisher or having this top agent is the success story. No, the benefit is you get to tell your story. You get to entertain readers around the world. That is a benefit of being able to write. And I think that gets lost in the shuffle through everything that we go through in terms of publishing. But on the same token, the challenges is getting that book published at the same time. The market is fluctuating, it changes, it's difficult, especially if you are a Black writer or a person of color writer. We have those challenges. And so that is a challenge for us, is to get our voices heard, to be able to pop onto the scene and to say that our voice matters, our stories matters as well. And I think the other challenge for writers is just trying to write to a genre or trying to write to something that's popular or trying to write to fit a mold or a market. Because what people need to understand, I was talking to a writer today and she says, well, she wants to be the next Emily Henry. And I thought, okay, you want to write romance or women's fiction? Emily Henry's books are a little bit of both. I said, but by the time your book comes out, by the time you finish writing it and you get an agent and it's published, that's going to be at least 2 years from now. There may not be a market for Emily Henry books anymore, which it probably will be. I feel like she'll have staying power for a while, but that's someone that's trying to write to fit what's popular today. You can't do that because it's 2 years before your book even comes out. And that's if you finish writing it today. Chances are this person wasn't finished writing it. So you still have to have that time to write and then go through the whole publishing wheel that it takes. And so I feel like writers try to fit a mold, and that is a challenge because editors and their agents and what people are looking for, it changes, it fluctuates. And so that is a tough, tough challenge for writers right now.
I hear you. That is really interesting to hear that perspective because from a writer's perspective, we are told to write what we know. And that, I think, it also kind of puts us in that mold where we can only write what we are expected to write. And then when we try to look at what others are doing, we see that imagination has no limits. So what would you say, and this is a question for both of you, what would you say a writer who is still trying to break into the market with all the imposter syndrome involved, with all the expectations from the industry of you telling a particular kind of story because you're a particular kind of person, like what do writers need to keep in mind when trying to break into the market so they feel like they belong. Jennifer, yes, you could go first.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not there yet. I feel like Tara may be able to speak to this a little better than I can. But I think just obviously, I mean, what we all often say, and it can't be said enough, like, don't give up. Like, that is like, there are times where I was just like, do I keep going? I don't know. So it's kind of like, you have to certainly kind of push through. Like, we talk about pushing through imposter syndrome, pushing through like all the other things that may be in your way too. And then also as well is like, there's enough room for everybody to tell their stories, I think. I think Tara was kind of alluding to this, where that's the great time that we seem to be in too, where we can tell our stories and there's enough room in the market for everyone. Like, there doesn't have to be a competition. I feel like I've seen that before where it's kind of viewed as that. And I don't think it needs to be. I think it's just definitely enough space for everyone.
Amazing. Yes, Tara?
Like, to say to people, control what you can control. Like, you cannot control so much of publishing, but you can control your story. You can control the words on the page. You can control how you tell your story. You can control that. And instead of grasping for stuff that we can't grasp for, really hone in on the things that you can. I talk to a lot of writers lately and I tell them, no, you can't control the market. You can't control how the market changes, but you can control how you write. Are you studying the market? Are you studying good writing? That is the biggest thing that I think that people need to understand is the writing has to be there. The writing has to be there. And that is something that writers can control. If you're not that strong of a writer, I was told when I was in college, my English professor said, there are born writers and there are learned writers. And if you are a born writer, most born writers know that they are. And then those, and then there are writers that have to just grind at it and learn and learn and learn. And if you are a learned writer, then study the craft. Take as many classes as you need, buy the books, hire freelance editors if you can, like whatever you can do, that's within your grasp of something that you can control. And even if you are a born writer, you still need to be able to learn how to write a novel and hone your craft. And that goes into the research. I won't tell writers that they need to read all these books, but you need to read the good writers. You need to see what is considered as good writing and study that.
Yeah.
Tara, do you look back on your journey and when you first started and kind of cringe at that person who didn't know as much as you know now? Like for me,
oh my goodness.
Like six months ago, Jennifer, I cringe at. I'm like, man, I've learned so. And I know there's much more I can learn too.
Yes, I just cringed because even with that first novel I was saying that I wrote, I just knew that it was going to be like this big deal, this big thing. And it wasn't. And I look back at that novel and I don't cringe at it, but I'm still very proud of it. But I just know that it was never going to hold up in the market. And it was the best thing for me that it did not happen. But yeah, I think people need a little humility goes a long way. And I know we all think that we are great writers in our mind, but the truth is someone else always thinks differently. And like I said, humility goes a long way and you can never stop learning, never stop honing your craft. As I write my third book, I am rewatching. And I actually got this from Jennifer, a lot of the masterclasses on writing from David Baldacci and Margaret Atwood and Walter Mosley, and just learning about what their process is. And I am writing my technically fourth book now, but there's always something, even for me, even for anybody to learn. So never think that you stop learning how to write a book because you don't.
That is perfect advice. And I totally agree. And thank you so much for sharing this. One thing I take away is there is room for everyone in the market. And as a writer, whether you are born or learned writer, you have to keep on learning about the craft. So that is great. And thank you so much for agreeing to be guest on this show. We will catch up afterward. And I hope you have an amazing, amazing day. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Lady.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hey listeners, I don't know about you, but I learned so much from this conversation with Jennifer and Tara Harris. And if you want to learn more from Tara and Jennifer, I will link their Twitter profiles in the show notes. Keep in mind that Tara's book, Once I'm in Savannah, will be out this July. So if you want to buy the book, you can just check the link in the show notes and reach out to her. Yeah, thank you so much for sticking around. We have a Facebook group, and I'm waiting for all of you to join, to leave suggestions, to share any feedback, any question, even if it's just water cooler moments, jokes, funny pictures, bring them all. It is supposed to be a fun place where we can all just support each other and feel good together. Thank you all for listening. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the PPS Club Pod to support us. And also leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, and Good Pods to help us reach more listeners. Until next time, don't forget to spawn, show, and sway. Bye.